You know, it's an amazing thing. You come into a church, and sometimes a church is a hall of education where people come to learn, and there's not a whole lot of spiritual application. Sometimes you just gather knowledge and you take it out into the world. And then other times you come into church and it's just a real encouraging, sweet time. And then other times you come into church and it's a hospital where weary hearts come hoping to find medicine to cure what's ailing them. This morning at 4:45, I woke up and immediately on my mind there were two or three different people in the church, and I don't know people quite well enough where people just would pop into my mind out of nowhere, and I've been doing this long enough to know that sometimes God will lay people on you. This morning, I got into my prayer closet. Man, I had a good message on tithing this morning. I was going to preach on tithing. But you know, the more I couldn't get over. So I've got a closet in my office in there, and I go in there to pray. And so I text Erica. I said, if you need me, I'll be praying. And I went in the closet and I shut the door, and I got to thinking about something. A word came to my mind. The word is broken. This morning, we gather in the presence of God Almighty in different places, in different seasons of life. Some this morning have got very little to worry about. You're happy. You got great things before you. Families all together. Marriage is doing fantastic. Other people are in this room and you don't really care if the sun comes up, comes down. You don't even know why you're here. But there's a whole vast array of people that have gathered into this room this morning broken. For some people in this room, it is the sorrow of a situation that has overwhelmed them. It is the sadness of what could have been, what should have been, and what really is. You're broken. There are some in our congregation that have been touched by the hand of death this week. Death has walked into their home and has snatched away one and put them in a place that seems so far away. And this morning you gather in broken. And then there are people in this room this morning, you are broken of your own accord. The decisions you have made and are making are putting you where you are. Beloved, it's not always somebody else's fault. Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it's my fault. But this morning, I cannot get away from that word, broken. And I imagine that many of you come from churches where it's always the same rigmarole. Man, it doesn't matter what you're going through. The preacher's got his outline. He's got his thing. He's going to say it. It doesn't matter if you need it or not. One preacher said it like this: the scariest thing for a pastor is preaching about stuff that nobody cares about. Unfortunately, we have forgotten the word of the Proverbs that said, look well to know the state of thy flock. It is not my responsibility this morning to give you 3 points and a poem. It is my word and job this morning to make sure that you know there is a God in heaven that cares about you, and He has not forgotten you. Therefore, I'll give you one phrase out of the book of Psalm chapter 34 in verse number 18. The Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto the brokenhearted. The Lord is nigh unto the brokenhearted. I'm afraid that the Baptists have missed it, just like the Methodists have missed it, just like the Pentecostals have missed it. The Methodists have missed it in the sense of they think that everything is a method, everything is a program, everything is a routine, and that methodology has led to a formalism. That methodology has led to a routine that can never be broken and never be shattered. Pentecostalism has got the fervor of this thing right, but they have missed it because their fervor has turned into fanaticism. They have become so fanatic about everything that it can never just be normal. And what they have built is they have built a people that live off of emotional highs. Methodists and the folks that follow the more traditional routes of Christianity, they have built people that run off of a routine. And unfortunately, humans are not machines. Neither can we be flopped on the other side where everything, you come into the house of God and I'm your spiritual drug dealer and I'm going to give you something to give you a big enough high so you can get out of here. That's not what church is about either. Unfortunately, the Baptists have missed it. In our desire to see more and more people come to the knowledge of Christ and in our evangelistic thrust, what we have done is we have turned the church into a capitalistic business where we need more and more people and more and more people, and we're constantly going, and in the process of going, we have forgotten the ones that are here. In the process of growing and becoming larger and larger, we have forgotten that people are not a number. They're humans, and they have hearts, and they have lives. David realized this, and he wrote this phrase down in the midst of one of the hardest trials of his life. He said, "Lord, you are nigh unto the brokenhearted." This morning I come before you as somebody that wishes I could fix you. Son, I wish I could fix me. I really wish I could fix my wife's people, but I don't have the power to do any of that. In fact, I'm learning my people are crazier than her people. I wish this morning I could give you a methodology and a formula that would take the broken tatters and shatters of your life and begin the process of putting them all back together. But unfortunately, I'm a pitiful potter. And unfortunately, this morning, I don't have a formula that can fix you. If there was a formula that could fix humanity, God would have already put it back together. But since there's not a formula that doesn't heal the brokenhearted, God makes this promise that I am nigh unto the brokenhearted. Being broken is a long-term process. It is not something that happens overnight. The event that leads to the brokenness happens like that, but oftentimes the buildup to that thing takes time. I look at people this morning, if you would just get real with God, you probably would find some help. But in our fear of what other people will think, we constantly keep a facade on us. But unfortunately, all people are broken. All of us deal with heartache. All of us wish we were completely whole, but all of us are nothing more than the clanking of what could have been. Last year, this time, my wife and I, this would have been Easter Sunday last year. The first Sunday in April 2023, my wife and I were about 2 weeks outside of the lowest valley of our lives. Unfortunately, because of where God had brought us to in our journey, we didn't have people to come around us. We didn't have a church family that we could rally. We were the ones that had to be in charge. We were the ones that everybody looks to. And Tyler and Erica, you can't have problems, because if you have problems, who's going to help me with my problems? Brothers and sisters, I wish I could tell you I had a perfect life. I wish I could tell you me and my family have no issues, but we're all broken people. I don't know this, but I think God loves rednecks. You know why? Because he didn't say the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He said the Lord is nigh. I looked up that word nigh, and that word nigh means three things. Number one, when it says the Lord is nigh, first and foremost, it means in proximity. It has the idea of being close in location. Brothers and sisters, you and I have got to understand that there is not a place where God will not go. There is not a place where God cannot trudge through. There is no funeral home that makes God nervous. There is no cemetery that makes him unable to bear. There is no hospital room that gives him the heebie-jeebies. There is no situation at your house that he says, you know what, maybe I should just exit. There is no argument that makes him so nervous that he says, no, I better not go near that. There is no child that cusses you and walks out on you that he says, no, that right there is just a little bit too much. There is no marriage that looks one way but is really another where he says, no, that one right there, that's a little too far gone. At the end of the day, there is no location that God is far away from. And in fact, it's not that he's not just not far away. He says, I'm right there at that thing. I'm right there in the midst of that thing. I stand right smack dab in the middle of that thing. Your youngin may have walked out, but he said, I am nigh unto you that are left with a broken heart. To the wife that does not know what to do with the husband that won't come back. To the daddy and the mama that don't know what to do with a child that doesn't care. To the wife that is so sad and broken over the sickness of a husband. He says, I'm right there smack dab in the middle of that situation. He said, I am nigh to the brokenhearted. Here's the question we always ask. If he's close, why can't I feel him? If God is so close, why can't I feel him? Troy, would you help me? I promise I won't embarrass you, my brother. I give you my word. Troy, you're going to represent a normal Christian, and I'll represent the Lord. When you get saved, he says, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. You can call that getting hooked up with, linked up to, shackled to, right there beside you all the days of you. I'll never. And boy, when you get saved, everything's juicy. I mean, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's juicy. My chains are gone. That's juicy. I mean, he can sing the mountain won't move, and that gets juicy too. You can talk about how the mountain will move, and every time, I mean, you can just feel God right there. I mean, Tyler gets up and preaches on tithing, and you're up there shouting the victory. I feel God on that thing. Tyler gets up there and talks about the valley, and I mean, you feel God right up close to you. I mean, when you go to get baptized, it's like you come up, and he's linked right up there to you. Every time Troy stands up, you say, man, I don't care if you just sang that last week. Sing that bad boy again. Every time you get near, you can feel God, but something happens with time. The further you go with God, the less you'll feel him. Now, I'm 38 years old. I'm 38 years old. And I'll be downright honest with you. In a spiritual sense, I feel God less than I ever have. You know, my wife and I have been married for 15 years. Boy, when we first got married, hang it right there. We first got married, we get in that 1998 Toyota Avalon. It had that center console right there. The paint was peeled off the two mirrors on the, we didn't care. We weren't looking at mirrors. We was looking at each other. Son, she'd get so close to that center console, if I'd have needed to light a cigarette, I'd have lit her britches on fire. I mean, every time we were in that thing, I mean, we were so close. Y'all remember them old Toyota, they had a console about that. I mean, she's basically just sitting hunched up on one side. We were so in love. We had to be just always touching each other. I got that truck now. And so help me, the console's as big as this pulpit. There will be times In 15 years, we'll get in the car together and we don't even talk. And you young couples, don't you look at me. You ain't got no idea about real love. You know what? I didn't know what love was back then. Because it's not our physical touch that equals love. It's the covenant we made. Re-enter the average Christian. You remember that day when you felt God near to you. And when you would go right, God would go right and you felt him. And when you let left, God would go left and you felt him. But through time and experience and brokenness and heartache, you spend your time now and you say, Lord, when I go right, I don't feel you. And when I go left, Lord God, I don't feel you. And when I go forward, oh God, why don't I feel you? And when I go backwards, oh God, why don't I feel you? Because here is the problem. God is trying to break something within us that we do not walk by faith. We're walk by sight. We walk by faith. We don't walk by our senses. Here's what you've got to realize. Whether I feel God or don't feel God, when I go right, God says, I'm still with you. And when I go left, God says, I'm still with you. And when you go forward, God says, I'm still with you. And when you go backwards, God says, I'm still with you. He says, at the end of the day, you don't have to feel me. We've got to stop being so childish in this spiritual walk. Whether I feel God or whether I don't feel God, I've been given a promise that he'll not leave me and he'll not forsake me. And so whether you feel him, he's nigh. He's nigh the brokenhearted. It doesn't just mean a physical location. It also means a relationship or we call it next of kin. When you're nearly related to somebody, it means they've got a dog in the fight with you. I'm not a fighter. I don't want to fight. I don't care to fight. I'm not interested in fighting. I ain't never had to fight. You know why? Because up until I was about 18, I had a cousin 2 years older than me that could bench press a Volkswagen. And it was amazing. We'd be in school together. And everybody that bothered me, well, rarely did they bother me, because they knew at the end of the day, I had somebody that was always going to be there with me. And you know, I never fought a fight by myself. I really didn't. Up until my cousin went to the police academy, I never fought a fight. Then I had to close my mouth, but you know, I never... And you know, it didn't matter if that fight was my fault or not. He's always there with me. I want to talk to people in this room that have made your own mess. You're broken and you broke the people around you. Yeah, it is your fault. No, you ain't done right. But whether you broke yourself or whether you were broken by somebody, you've still got his blood in your veins. And you're still his child. And the Lord is still nigh unto you. Last year, Erica and I, we spent probably about 3 months in a state of spiritual paralysis. We went through the motions, but there was no life. There was very little spiritual revival, and whatever the wording is you want. Now, I'll be honest. We learned how to carry the oil, but we were just a bunch of broke vessels is all we were. We didn't understand what was going on. We didn't understand what God was doing. We got in that place. We didn't know if we were the reason this was happening. We didn't know if they were the reason this was happening. We couldn't figure out. I'll tell you how bad it got. We got so bad, we were waking up having nightmares, just reliving everything in our minds of all that had been going on. We were just in this place of just whatever. And we went to this church. And when I tell you those people were crazy, I'm telling you they were out of their mind crazy. Down in Concord, down in Cherry Grove, North Carolina. If you ain't never been to Cherry Grove, don't go. Sunday crazy. We got down there, and I'm telling you, that preacher was crazy. He's one of the sweetest men. I love him. I'm going back to preach this year on a Monday night. But you get around crazy. You either reject it or you just got to have more of it. Man, I just had to have more of it. We got down there. I had Erica with me. I had Mason with me. And I had Ella with me. We sat in this room. And if you ain't done this a long time, let me help you. When you do this a lot, you can pretty well tell when they hit the first note on the piano what kind of service it's going to be. Okay. If it starts out a normal piano lick, you got a pretty good chance. But when the first note goes zonk, zonk, it ain't going to be good. I remember looking at Erica thinking, I cannot believe we're here at this. About halfway through the service, that preacher got up. He brought me up. He said, I'm going to stop service right now. Stop service right now. He said, Brother Tyler, I want you to come, and I want you to give us what's on your heart. God's give you something. I thought, dude, you don't know God. God ain't give me nothing. I ain't got nothing. And I stood up. I said, you know what? In my head, I'm thinking, you know what? I ain't faking this no more. I'm fixing to tell them all God's done to us in the last 4 months. It's exactly what I'm going to do. And I opened my mouth. And before I knew it, all that brokenness was flowing out of me. Next thing I knew, my wife is crying on the second row. Next thing I know, my children are weeping on the second row. And all of a sudden, a guy comes up to me, and he grabs me by the shoulders. Honest, he made Stanley Robertson look like just a short little thing. His guy was massive. He scared me to death when he touched me. He grabbed me by the shoulders, Katie. He stiffens me up straight. He says, square your shoulders back, boy. God's still with you. I looked at him. I said, okay. I felt electricity hit me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And from that day to this day, I have seen that even in brokenness, the Lord was nigh. Nick, where are you at, brother? Put me in the key of F. All I've come to tell you today is you ain't got to go through the motions. Ain't nobody here going to look at you and think you any less than the rest of us. We're all just a bunch of broken vessels. People in this room, just a bunch of broken vessels. The preacher, just a broken vessel. The deacons, we're all just a bunch of broken vessels. The choir, we're all just a bunch of broken vessels. But the Lord is nigh unto those broken vessels. This morning, you're here, and you broke yourself. You broke that. Listen, that scripture continues. It says, and he saveth such that are of a contrite heart. If you'll humble yourself this morning before God, God will heal you. This morning, you may be the victim of somebody else's mess up. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. This morning you may be here and you are at your wits' end. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Brothers and sisters, it's not about having a sermon. It's not about walking out feeling like you got 3 points. It's about walking out knowing that God spoke to you. So the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not. No. Some of you right now need to get your broken pieces together and bring them to God. Some of you this morning, probably with a husband or wife, need to grab them by the hand. So I don't really know what to do, but some of you have got a child that is shattered. The Lord is nigh. Tyler, what do I do? I don't have any idea. But the Lord knows. And the Lord is nigh. Tyler, I'm not even saved. You get up out of your seat. You make your way down to this altar. And when you get down here, Brother Brandon's going to take a Bible. Brother Chris is going to take a Bible. And they're going to show you how you can know. You say, Brother Tyler, I'm not even right with God. I was saved as a child, but I've wandered away. You need to bring that mess that you've been clinging to. God, I'm coming home, Lord. Mama, Daddy. You say, I'm not used to it. Listen to me. If the Holy Ghost is plucking your heartstrings, I want you to come. There's not an hour that He is not near us. No, not one. No. It can't cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggle.
Oh, yes.
That's it, beloved. That's it, beloved. Heads are bowed this morning. If you're on this altar and you need somebody to pray with you, just slip your hand up. But I'm talking to those of you that are in your seats. I'm talking to teenagers right now. You're worried about mama and you're worried about daddy. I want you to come. You're worried about your family. I want you to come. God cares about the brokenness of a teenager. He cares about the brokenness of a mother. He cares about the brokenness of a widow. He cares about the brokenness of a single. He cares about the brokenness of somebody that's never come to church. He cares about the brokenness of those of you that have come every single service. Brothers and sisters, you've got to come. You say, but I can't kneel. You get on these first couple of rows, you just sit here. You say, but Brother Tyler, I don't know if that's going to fix anything. What you're doing now ain't working. You may as well bring it to God. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart. Our heads are bowed. You say, Brother Tyler, what do I do? Step out of your seat right now. I want you to come. Troy's going to sing this verse. Did e'er a friend find the Lord forsake him? No, he won't. He won't. He won't. Sing on, Troy. I want you to come right now. God bless you. God bless you, beloved. You can't kneel, just sit on the first couple row. That's fine. Whatever you got to do. If you need somebody to pray with you, just slip your hand up. We got people down here, got deacons, got women that'll pray. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
don't you look his way? Nick's going to keep on playing. There have been a couple of times in our journey, you know, space gets in between husbands and wives. It happens to all of us. There have been a couple of times on our journey where she'll take me by the hand or I'll take her by the hand. And I'll say, I'm not going anywhere. And she'll say, I'm not going to go anywhere. Brothers and sisters, sometimes in your marriages specifically, sometimes all you need to do is just let the other one know, we ain't got everything fixed, but I'm not going anywhere. And it's like a concrete pours in the heart of a person. Brothers and sisters, our adversary is going to do everything in his power to devour you, devour your family, your children, your marriage. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to bow our heads right now. And I don't want you to do it unless the Spirit of God is leading you. I want you, though, if God wants you, just grab your spouse by the hand or by the arm. Say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. By God's grace, I'm not going anywhere. Together, we'll get this thing figured out. Together, we're going to work this thing through. God is not done with you. And I promise you right now, the Lord knows. And he's nigh unto us. I want to talk to those of you this morning that are widowed. You don't have anybody. God hadn't forgotten about you. When you laid that husband or wife down in the grave, God didn't leave you. He's still got a plan for you. And there is still power in your witness. Don't give up on God. There are divorced people in this room. Listen, divorce does not make you second class in the eyes of God. It may not have worked right. It may have fallen apart. All right, you're over it. It's time to move on. Stop sulking and let's stop whining about what could have been, what should have been, and let's walk with God and see what God's got ahead of us. Time is drawing short. We've got to know. Let's bow our heads all over the room.